I thank God for that. I began to study yesterday, and I really don't want to be where I'm at right now. It's like the preacher said, when it's on you, it's on you, and my heart's about to beat out of my chest. But I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to preach what the Lord has me preach. And if it takes all the clothes off my back and everybody befriends me, that'll be all right. That'll be all right. That's doing what the Lord has me to do. And I began to pray a long time ago, seems like a couple months. And the Lord gave me a vision, show me what He'd have me to do. God gave me direction. And God told me, said, I'm going to do a new thing. Same thing He told you, Pastor. And say, preach, you and Him's on the same page. Well, I hope so. I want to back the man of God. And God told me to do a new thing. I began studying. God began to deal with me here lately about how we have forgot how to handle God. And God told me and began to speak to me yesterday as I was studying. And I want to preach on this thought, a new handle. A new handle on an unchanging God. A new handle on an unchanging God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. And begin reading in verse number 1. Psalms chapter 37 in verse number 1. You found your place. You say amen this evening. Psalms 37, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Our Father, Lord, I thank Thee that Thou hearest me always. God, I pray, Father, tonight that You'd anoint the hearing thereof of Your people. God, I ask, Lord, that You'd speak to them, God, how You've spoke to us. Lord, I pray, Father, You'd make it clear. Lord, I pray You'd help Your people tonight, Father. Lord, You know, God, Lord, what You've laid on my heart. And, Father, I pray You would project it, God, upon ears that are here. And, Lord, I pray You'd help them to take it into consideration just how serious it is to handle a holy God. I pray, Father, You'd touch us tonight. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see here in verses 1 and 2, I begin to look at this as the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I begin to think about that word fret as I was studying. I run across a saying here and I got to looking at it, and it says we are not to be anxious about the unknown future. Or to fret about it, we are to live in a moment-by-moment dependence on God. Yes, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, that's a pretty good saying. And I began to read and research and look a little further and try to scam around and look and see what I could find. And that word fret stands for fear regurgitated at every sign of trouble. And I don't know who you are tonight, and I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're fretting about. I don't know that bill that ain't come, or the bill that has come, or that coworker you're trying to deal with, or that person you're trying to be an influence on, but they've got you about fretting down to death. And it may not be they've got you fretting to death in a fear sense, but maybe they've got you fretted to where you about plumb stricken red in the eye. And maybe they're causing you to see red. Maybe they're causing you to stray from your raising, stray from what God's called you to do. But I want to help you tonight and look at a new handle on an unchanging God. We see here three things. I see, first of all, in verse number 3, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now this is David speaking here. First of all, I see a triumphant trust here. To begin to handle a God, to begin to even look at how God can be handled, we must trust Him. God will not come down. God will not be around you. God will die. He don't want to be around somebody he can't trust. God don't want to be around somebody that ain't going to trust him. If I was to be around Brother Luke, if I would pray, I think Brother Luke would want me to trust him. If I was going to trust, I trust my dad with my little girl because I know that he's going to take care of her. I trust the Lord with my salvation. When I got saved, I trust that he's going to take it, apply it to the mercy seat, put my name in the Lamb's book of life, and I ain't got to worry about it no more. I trust that he's done that for me. I trust that he's going to feed me tomorrow. I trust he's going to feed me the day after. I trust God and I'm trusting him every day, praying that he'd take care of me. And I trust he's going to do it. Say, why is that? Because he's a big God. And I believe if he's a big God, he can do big things. And I see three things within this triumphant trust. I see, first of all, the Bible says, and do good. We see the development in darkness. I think about if you're going to have this triumphant trust, you must develop in darkness. I think about many times where the things have come up, many times where there's been times in my life that I could have very well done the wrong thing, but there is darkening times in your life that's time you need to develop. As a Christian, that's the time you need to take a step forward. That's the time you need to take your trust and let it just triumph itself. God is all triumphant. God is omnipresent. He's on everything. I mean, God is a big God, and we've got to trust God, and he's going to put us through dark times that you might get your trust where it needs to be. I think about over here in 1 Peter in chapter 2, in verse 15, the Bible says, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." I think not only there, over in chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." That word eschew means to turn aside, turn away from. It says to turn away from evil, turn away from wrongdoing, turn away from everything that's bad. If you're going to get your trust where it needs to be with God, if you want to learn how to handle God, you want to learn how to get God to work, you can go pray and he'll just absolutely get all over you like Brother Percy Ray and have that much power. You got to learn how to handle him. You got to learn how to trust him. And how are you going to trust him if you ain't developing in the darkness? Doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Doing the right thing when it's not Sunday and you have your best dress on. Doing the right thing when the preacher ain't around. Doing the right thing when mama ain't looking. Doing the right thing when daddy's gone to work. Doing the right thing when you give just a little bit of space of grace there that maybe mama's gave you, daddy's gave you. They give you just a little space. I give my youngest space all the time. Just I want to see what she'll do. I know she's a lot like her daddy. Tear up an anvil with a rubber mallet. I give her just a little bit of space, and I'll give her that just seeing if what I've taught her that she's learned from what I've been saying. God does us the same way. God puts us in dark situations. God puts evil people around us. I believe God allows evil people to get around you. Because it's going to show just, look at Job. God let the evil devil around Job because God knows what situation. God knew the status of Job. God knew where Job was at. God knew that Job had done developed in the darkness, but he wanted the devil to see just how much development the darkness had done good for Job. And I believe God do the same for us. I think about not only there, I think about second of all in this trust, I think about the different dwelling you'll be in. And here it says, second of all, in verse number 3, it says, after it says, trust in the Lord and do good, that's that development in darkness, so shalt thou dwell in the land. So we see a different dwelling. When you begin to develop in darkness, when you begin to take the little space that God gives you, okay, when God gives you just a little space, and he says here now, he says, you've been praying that I'd do such greater things. You've been praying that I'd give you a little bit more. You've been praying that I'd use you a little bit more. Well, I'm going to give you this little 2x2 square to grow in. And when you start developing in darkness and you start doing what God had you do, he's going to widen the variety. He's going to make your dwelling a little bit different. He's going to make your dwelling a little bit bigger. Bless God, he requires a lot of those
that he trusts. He trusts just like your pastor. Look what all God's enlisted to him. He's trusted him with this church, this congregation, the one-way program, the Christian school. I mean, all the ministries that Bethel has, God has given to him. But where much is given, much is required. If you want to get out of the 2x2 square that you're in, you've got to start developing a little bit. You've got to not fret when bad troubles show up. You've got to not let fear regurgitate at every sign of trouble, at every sign of evil, at every time bad things show up. You've got to quit breaking down, getting mad, flying off, kicking a bucket, kicking a dog, walking a cat, stomping the wood, kicking a door, and kicking off on everybody else. You've got to start developing. If we're going to get anywhere. I see when you start developing in darkness, you're going to have a different dwelling because God's going to lengthen your chain. God's going to give you a little bit more. He's going to give you a little bit better task. He's going to let you go just a little bit further. You're going to see a little bit bigger things. You're going to see God in a whole new light. You're going to see God in a whole new way. You're going to be able to pray a little bit better. You're going to be able to get on a whole other level when you start developing with the little things. We got to focus on the little things. It's the little things. I preach this all the time. And even when I coach ball, we got to focus on the little things. Snap the ball. First step in the right direction. Doing our job. Doing the right thing. If we can do the little things, the big things will fall into place. If we can develop in the darkness when the devil's nagging at your heels, when really it's just the devil's nagging over a whole lot of nothing, a whole lot of nothing. Hey, I'm the world's worst. You can ask my dad. I'm the world's worst. I got like a fuse about like my grandpa. I'm just real short-tempered. I can't help it. I got patience like an ant. I just can't help it. I mean, I get fly mad, fly off, kick the dog. I mean, I'm the world's worst. And I might be preaching to myself. But I've got to develop in the darkness when nobody's looking. Way up in the middle of the night when God shows up and says, this person's on your heart, it's time to pray. When God shows up and says, this person's in trouble, it's time to pray. They ain't nobody here. Nobody's around. Your wife's gone. Girlfriend's gone. Family's away. God comes by and says, it's time to read. God comes by and says, it's time to study. God comes by and says, you've got to call such and such. Well, Lord, I don't like talking to them. God said, do it. God said, it's time to develop. God's tired of sucker feeding and feeding you milk bottles. God wants you to have a steak. God can't feed you steak. You got no teeth in your mouth. Why ain't you got no teeth? You ain't got off a nipple. We got to develop, church. We got to develop in the darkness when nobody's looking. When it's way up in the morning, you get up and you're trying to do right. Man, I got a routine. If I get out of my routine, you can tell, ask my dad, I fly off a chain. I can't help it. I got a routine. When I get up, I go straight to the table and I start reading the Word. Because if I don't start my day off the Word, I'm shot. I am shot. And I'm the world's worst. If I don't start my day off in the Word, oh man, it's darkness all day long and it's a battle all day long and I fly off a chain because I can't handle it and the devil knows how to get to me and I want to kick a dog, stomp a cat. I mean, if you talk to me, I'll just pinch your head off because if I don't start in the Word and I don't get that fresh manna, I'm shot. But I got a routine. I get up, I start in the Word. Once I get down the Word, I go to my prayer closet. And I go tell God all my problems and what I need for the day, and God's done heard it. Now, will He answer that day? That's on His will. I don't know. I just got to do and develop in darkness when nobody's looking and when nobody's watching. It's easy to do the right thing when everybody's looking at you. But it takes a real Christian to do it when ain't nobody looking. Live what you're preaching. I think not only developing in darkness, I think not only how your dwelling will change, I think thirdly within this triumphant truth, I think about the directed dish. I see here thirdly, the Bible says in verse 3, and verily thou shalt be fed. If you do the first thing right and you develop in darkness, then you do the second thing and God will make you dwell a little bit. It'll make it a little bit easier to live, but there's also going to be a little bit bigger struggles. But what comes with a little bit bigger struggles is bigger pots of manna. I'm serious. I'm serious. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 6, and three times in this chapter God talks about this directed dish. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin in verse number 4. The Bible says, this is the Lord speaking, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You want that dish out in the open, you got to go hunting after it in the dark when ain't nobody looking. I think not only chapter or verse 4, I think verse number 6, the Bible says again, the Lord reminds you, reiterates, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Not only there, go on to verse number 18, the Bible says, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Three times God said out of his own mouth, probably about the same paragraph, if we really get down to looking at punctuation and how the writers got it wrote down, God reiterated how serious it is to pray. How serious it is to trust God. Do you trust Him enough to really tell Him what your problems are and really tell Him what you need? Do you though? Do you really trust Him enough to go to Him? And it's so hard for me because I guess I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. I want to put my hands on things. I want to know that who I'm talking to. I can look at them or I want to know what I've got in my hand. I mean, I'm just that kind of person. Maybe my face that week that I've got to have it right here on the billboard. So it's took some dead developing in darkness. It's took me doing that and God allowing my box to get a little bit bigger. God illuminating my mind. God making my trust get that much more triumphant that I can see God in a new light. That I can see Him in a new way. On a new day. In a new week. In a new year. That God can do all these new things. But it's took all this to get to where I can go to Him every day. Now I can get down on a bending knee. And I can go talk to somebody that I don't even know. And I can talk to him just like we're standing there. Just like, I mean, you ought to have enough trust, have enough faith, have enough confidence, been enough through enough dark times that you could, I mean, get down to pray and pray believing. I mean, pray just like he's standing there with a notebook out, writing it all down. You ought to have that much trust in God. I think not only we see them three things about the triumphant trust, second of all, I see the detailed delight. In verse number 4, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God will do it. I believe He will. I see here about this delight. Now this word delight, I'm sure when I first read this, I thought, well, maybe that's, you know, like, for instance, if I go to a good ice cream parlor, I want to delight myself and I want to get good ice cream. I like ice cream. Okay, and we'll go delight ourselves in that state. But this word delight in the Hebrew, it means to be soft, to be delicate, to be dainty. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91, the Bible says, we don't turn past it. Psalms chapter 91, in verse 15, the Bible says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. What's that say there? He shall call upon me. It's going to take you calling upon a holy God, handling Him, figuring out how to handle God. You just can't handle Him any old certain way. You look at the Levites, if they approach, that's the tribe that was set aside by God Himself to carry the ark. Nobody was to touch the ark but the tribe of Levi. And they had a certain way they had to go about touching it and carrying it and moving it and how they really had to take their staves and they would run them through the side and two little holes. I've been doing a lot of research. It just intrigues me about the Ark of the Covenant. That's the closest thing I believe we had to God. And but now we got Him in our hearts. Thanks be unto God. But they'd pick Him up and they'd carry Him. I think about the time that Brother Darren has preached here recently, how if they even touched the Ark, it'd anger God and God kill them. If they opened the Ark, it angered God, and God killed them. If you approach the ark the wrong way, it angered God, and God killed them. We got to get back to figuring out how to handle God. You wonder why we can't get a hold of God. You wonder why we can't hear from God. You wonder why you ain't seeing revivals. I'm well aware the Bible says that there'll be a great falling away. I mean, look tonight. There's been a great falling away. I'll preach to two and I'll preach to 222. But there's been a great falling away. Say, why is that? We don't know how to handle God. We can just go a gallivanting around, just doing our own thing. I mean, we got a script. This is what we're going to do, dead church. Well, this such and such is going to walk to the altar, and this one's going to raise his hand, and that one's going to sing this certain song, and he's going to preach this, and it's going to be that, but it's really not what the Lord gave him. It just goes along with the service. Baloney. We got to get back to hunting God, going after God, finding God, handling God. If you don't learn how to handle Him, He ain't going to show up. But we see this delight, this being soft. I think about a time when I kind of trusted God, but I really kind of didn't trust God because I hadn't really got there yet to figure out just how big God was. And I had to delight myself through darkness. You're going to go through darkness and God's going to teach you. He's going to soften you. That's what He's going to do. You say, well, why is this happening to me, preacher? Why is this going on in my life? God's trying to delight you. He's trying to soften you, make you dainty that God can trust you and you trust God. God ain't going to come to a cold-hearted, hardened individual that says, I want nothing to do with God. He'll send the Holy Ghost by, try to warm his heart. But we've got Christians day in and day out that's got cold-hearted on God because they've tried to go about handling God the wrong way. They've hardened their heart. But we've got to get to where we're soft. Just like over in the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. You go turn there. I'll turn there and read it to you just right quick. It talks about the softness, the stillness of a holy God. 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says in verse number 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a what? A still, small voice. It didn't say there that he was in any of those things. He could very well be in the earthquake. He was the earthquake. Was the wind? Was the fire? But God came by as a still, small voice. He come by to that man, I believe it was Elijah. Elijah went in the cave hunting him. God done put him through darkness. God done sent him into darkness. He softened him up that Elijah could delight when the Lord came by. Amen. How are you supposed to delight and try to feel the Lord if you can't even hear the still small voice when it shows up? I think not only there. We see here, second half of the verse over here says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You got desires tonight. You got loved ones you want to see saved. You got problems you want to see fixed. You got things you want God to heal. You want God to answer. You praying about certain things. There's certain financial needs. There's certain physical needs, spiritual needs, mental needs. And I ain't never seen the like of beating all my life. And a day and age, I mean, just such defeat, such depression, such, I mean, just unencouraged individuals. I mean, it just the lack of me. I ain't never in all my life people calling me left and right. And I ain't even the pastor. Are they calling me? Hoping I can give some encouragement. I mean, I've got desires tonight. I've got people that I don't even hardly have to know. People calling me, wanting me to pray for them. And wanting, I mean, I've got desires that I want to see people I don't even know. I've got desires. God, get a hold of them and heal their problem. Say, why is that? Because God's brought me through situations. Let me develop in darkness. Give me a bigger box, a bigger playground, a bigger sandbox. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger the closer I get to God. Because He keeps doing new things. Gives me new boxes to play in. Man, I'm a simple end. I'm like my daughter. Man, we bought a $20 shop back, and guess what? She's more excited about the cardboard box than sticker in it. Had to wrestle her and argue with her, get her to go to bed over a cardboard box. She's tickled to death with that little 2x2 square she had. But there comes a time when you've got to get out of that and go to a bigger box. Because God wants to do bigger things. God can't do bigger things and do new things until we learn how to get a new handle on the same God. God ain't changed. We just got to figure out how to get a hold of Him the right way. I think about that desire. I got a bunch of verses wrote down. I could just implode your mind. But I'll give you just one really close and near and dear to my heart. Psalm 73 and verse 25. The Bible says, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon, O Lord, there is none upon the earth that I desire besides Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of mine heart and my portion forever. That's my desire, church. And I could show you verse after verse about desiring to be in the Lord's house, desire to see the things of God, but that's my desire. I mean, I've got family this side of eternity, and all is well, but I, whom have I in heaven but Thee? It's Him. It's always been Him. And man, I'm telling you, since God saved me, God called me to preach, and the more I figure out, the more I learn about God, an unchanging God, an unfailing God, a God that's almighty. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He was at the head of my troubles, and He's at the rear of my troubles. He was when I got started, and He's following behind me. He put grace and goodness and mercy all round about me. He walks to my east and walks to my left. He's at the head, at the rear, on all four corners. He's in 213-foot thick wall on that side, and I can look through and see Him, and He looks at me. He's right here where I'm at, and He's way over yonder dealing with your problems. That's God. And He wants to be here. He wants your desires. He wants you to handle Him. But I think thirdly, and I'll be done, I think about the triumphant trust. I think about the detailed delight. I think about the many times that, we could go on and on about just many things through the Bible about even these three things here. But I think thirdly about the countless commitment. We see in verse number 5, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This word commit here, it means to roll or to roll together. Stand up, Brother Luke. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now when you get with God, now listen now, when you get with God and you trust in Him, you're yoking up with Him. You're getting with Him, and He's going to be with you through the hard times, through the good times, through the dark times, through the darkness. When He puts you in a bigger box, He just ain't going to put you in a new area, in a big box, and walk away. He's going to be right there with you. And He wants you to commit to Him. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that word commit means just to roll, to stroll together. You ought to just be rolling and strolling with Him. I mean, just roll right over the tide, over every problem, over every situation, over every circumstance, over every problem, everything you deal with, everything coming up. Bless God, you ought to be hand in hand with God, just to roll it over every problem and everything that faces your way. Every darkness you develop through, you've developed through because God had your hand. Every new box, every new playground, every new thing God trusted you with, you've done it because you're yoked up with God. God ain't going to give you a new thing. God ain't going to do a new thing until you get yoked up with Him. You got to commit your way unto Him. Young preachers, you listen to me. You need to commit everything you got to God. I mean everything, every day. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be doors and alleyways that's going to lead to no good. And the devil's going to want you to get down because the devil knows how God wants to use you. But if you ain't yoked up by God, the devil will carry you off. But you got to be yoked up with Him. You got to commit thy way and roll with Him day in
and day out. That word, thy way, here in Psalms, means journey. So you are to roll through the journey. Just roll on. And we're just pilgrims passing through. This ain't my home, thanks be unto God. I mean, it's all nice, good, and well. I mean, get to go places and see, you know, in different places throughout the United States, and it's beautiful. But I can't wait. Even though I'm yoked up with Him now, when I get to hold Him in my hands, and I get to, I just feel Him. I can just hold Him in my hand. I walk 213 feet through that wall that we can see, go through yonder, what all God's got. If I can just, I mean, I can't even imagine when I get to the end of 213 feet and I've got Him in my hands, holding on to God. He leads me in a new box, a new dwelling. He gives me a new dish, a fresh pot of manna, like a golden wafer drizzled in honey. And He feeds me grapes. And man, we walk into glory. And then look, 1,500 miles up. Just miles and miles. And just looking way over across through yonder, Brother Bobby. And I can't even, my mind can't even fathom what all we might see when we get 213. I mean, that right there. Thank you, Lord. That right there, that 200, I believe that 213 feet will be the Hall of Fame. I mean, you might hear, they might have speakers about Disney World when you enter in and you're here in Hebrews chapter 11. And he gets to Hebrews and say, you think it might be then? The Lord just might keep talking. And Brother Darren done such and such good, and this is what I done. And Brother Rim does such and such good, and this is what I done. How are you? And Brother Doug is such and such good, and Brother Bobby is such and such good. And by the time you get to 213 feet, God done blowed your mind. And you ought to get to the other side. And the Lord says, this is commitment. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. And come receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's commitment. That's commitment. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll go with thee always. I'll always be with thee. I am the personal end. You ain't never going to have to take a step without me. You take a step without Him because you do it on your own. I think here, thirdly, as we look into this, they say, many times I think about this word commitment. It's the same word, commitment. It's the same commitment used in the book of Luke in chapter number 23, a very famous chapter of our Lord Savior. In chapter 23, verse number 46, the Bible says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. It's not only used there. It's used over. We'll jump over. I'll read it to you. You've got just a few more minutes. Acts chapter number 7. Verse number 59. The Bible says in Acts 7, 59. Says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I believe the Lord carried him on. Yes. Think not only there, you think about over here in 1 Timothy, in chapter, 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've been lost for words. Because I'm still not ashamed. I'm still persuaded that he's still all my present God. And he's still the one true living God who's making intercession for you, making intercession for me. I mean, even since that revival, there's been people die. Now I can look all across this congregation. But you can look at that, and he's still the same God. If you commit yourself to him, he'll be there. I think not only there, I think in one last verse here, and I'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2, In verse number 23, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 23, who, when he was revealed, revealed not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You think about that now. That word commitment, that's serious. And I've showed you now, if you'd trusted Him, you'd delight yourself in Him, you'd commit yourself in Him. It's got to go in them three things. Can't go in any other order. If there'd been any other order, God would have put it that way. But you got to trust in Him. Let Him build your trust, and you build your trust in Him, and He'll build His trust in you. And then you delight yourself in Him. When you trust in Him, He'll warm your heart, warm you right up. He can use you. And then He gets you to where you'll commit everything you got to Him. And you'll go with Him, hell or high water, to hell with a water pistol. That's where we got to get. A new handle on an unchanging God.